Now open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start reading in verse 1 in just a moment. As I announced last week, this is an unusual message title. We're strolling through the gospel according to Matthew and pausing to consider every parable and miracle. And today we're going to talk about the parable of poodles, pigs, and pearls. And no, ladies, it's not a Mother's Day sermon. You know, in Matthew 7:6, Jesus said, "Don't give that which is sacred to dogs." That's where we get the poodles. "Don't cast your pearls before swine." Now, many people know of that saying, but few people really know what it means. And to be honest with you, as I was preparing for this message, I wasn't exactly certain what Jesus was trying to say, even though I've read it hundreds of times. I've never taught on it before, so I posted on my Facebook page and asked for some of my friends to tell me what you think Jesus is saying. And I got lots of responses. I want to share several of them with you. Ronnie Humphrey was talking tongue in cheek because, you know, everybody's been talking about the swine flu. So he said, this was a ritual back then to throw your pearls at pigs to keep away the swine flu. Of course, he's joking. Chris Fowler thought about college football mascots, and he says, well, apparently Jesus wasn't an Arkansas or a Georgia fan. Razorbacks, yeah, Bulldogs. Zach Burks hit it on the head when he said, I think what Jesus is saying is that we should not persist to offer something sacred to those who will not be grateful for the gift. And that's the meaning. And even our own George Faber wrote this, why argue with a fence or have a conversation with a wall? Doing either will not make a difference for the fence or the wall. But of all the comments I got, my favorite was from 10-year-old Jennifer Phillips. She cut through all the fluff and she said this, don't give your pearls to a pig because a pig is too dumb to know what a pearl is worth. And she got it exactly right. That's what we're going to be talking about. Remember, I've told you many times, don't ever take a scripture out of context. You know, reading the Bible's like real estate. What are the three most important things in real estate? Location, location, location. The most important thing about the Bible is location, location, location. Where is a verse found? And it is in the context of judging other people that we studied about last week. So with that in mind, let's read Matthew 7 and the first six verses. You can stand with me if you like as we read the words of Jesus. He said, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your eye? You hypocrite. And this is what we talked about last week. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now remember, it's in the context of judging that Jesus says, do not give dogs, and it's the Greek word canine. We get our word canine from that. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs, because if you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Now, I hope maybe at this point you may be scratching your head a little bit still saying, what in the world was Jesus talking about? Well, let me just remind you folks, Jesus never said anything accidentally or incidentally. I believe every verse in the Bible is inspired by God, and there's just as much truth for you in Matthew 7:6 as there is in John 3:16. So, what do you think Jesus was talking about? Well, let me share with you three spiritual principles that I think we can apply to our lives, some of you more than others. Here's the first principle. We must be aware, because Jesus was teaching that there are some people who behave like vicious animals. There are some people, he says, that act like vicious animals, and he called them dogs and hogs. He wasn't talking about literal animals. This is why it's a parable. This is why it's a metaphor, a word picture. But I will tell you this. When Jesus was talking about a dog, he wasn't talking about a pet. He wasn't talking about a noble German shepherd or a well-groomed poodle or a little Pomeranian that jumps up in your lap. Because did you know in the time that Jesus spoke this, they didn't have dogs as pets in Israel. Dogs were wild, feral dogs, vicious creatures that roamed about in packs, feeding off of carcasses, and they were dangerous. And of course, hogs, well, we all know that Jews and hogs don't get along very well. And to the Jewish mindset, there's nothing more vile and mean and unclean than a hog. Now, most of us know more about dogs and hogs, but if you've ever been around hogs, they can be pretty mean too. They can be wild and vicious as well. So all I need you to know is that when Jesus talked about dogs and hogs, he's not talking about Lassie and Miss Piggy here. I mean, he's talking about some mean creatures here. And how do we know he's talking about people? Well, elsewhere in the Bible, the same word is used to describe some evil people. For instance, when Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, here's what he said. Philippians 3:2, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. In other words, he was saying there are some people here in Philippi, they're the Jewish legalist, and they insist that everybody, Jewish, Gentile, every man must be circumcised in order to be a Christian. And he said, you know what? Those guys are just mean, and they're like dogs. And you know, the Apostle John had the vision of heaven in the book of Revelation. And on the last page of your Bible, as he's describing the beautiful heavenly city of New Jerusalem, not only is it going to be paradise because of who is there, it's going to be paradise for who is not there. Look at his words in Revelation chapter 22. He says, outside, meaning outside the city, the heavenly city, are the dogs, those who practice magic arts. And you know what that word is, by the way? It's pharmakia. We're not talking about card tricks here or fortune telling. That's drug abuse. Wow. How up to date is the Bible? Those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So in other words, the Bible says there are some people that we encounter in life who are wild and vicious. In other words, they live more according to their basic animal instincts than by a higher moral standard. Now, folks, would you agree that there's some folks out there that are just sort of animalistic in their behavior and in their desires? And Jesus said, you better watch out for them. Now, you remember the context is judging. Now, there are two extremes when it comes to judging. We talked a little bit about this last week. On one extreme, you have people that are harsh and judgmental, and they're always pointing their self-righteous finger at other people. You, look how bad you are, when they may have a 2x4 in their own eye. And that's one extreme. But on the other extreme is what you might call total permissiveness. People who say, well, never judge anybody. You know, live and let live. You don't judge me, I won't judge you. Now this is the prevailing attitude in our society today. Just let anything goes. Now, it's couched in the politically correct word today of what? Tolerance. Tolerance. And it's amazing, isn't it, folks, that we're supposed to tolerate everybody, but the people who are called the most intolerant are who? Us. Because we evangelical Christians, we're the ones that are standing up and saying, you know, we believe marriage ought to be between one man and one woman, and we're called intolerant. That we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and we're labeled intolerant. And isn't it amazing, folks, the double standard that's used? Because the only people that aren't tolerated in our culture are those intolerant, narrow-minded Christians. So somewhere between this extreme of condemnation and this extreme of permissiveness, there is the truth that you and I should wisely evaluate every person. Yeah, we have to judge, but you need to make a wise discernment, evaluation, not to condemn them, but to recognize that some people are mean. Some people are evil. Some people are wicked. Now, others are good and kind and loving, but that is a judgment call. And so that's why Jesus said, you know what? You need to be wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. And so that's the first thing we've got to learn, that there are just some mean people out there. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Here's the second spiritual principle. Number two, not only be aware, but number two, beware. And what Jesus is saying here is don't waste your spiritual treasures. Don't waste your pearls. Don't waste your spiritual treasures on those who are hostile to the truth. In other words, when you tell somebody something that's very important, that's a spiritual treasure, if they reject it and trample on it and throw it back at you and don't appreciate it, that's like casting your pearls before swine. In fact, that is taught elsewhere in the Bible. For instance, Proverbs 23:9 says, "Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words." Now, let me ask you, what are the pearls? What are the pearls here? Well, it's been interpreted different ways through the years. For centuries, the Catholic Church interpreted this verse to say, you know what? We will not serve Eucharist. We will not serve communion to somebody who is not a faithful, practicing Catholic. Because to serve the wafer and the wine to somebody who's not a confessing Catholic, that's casting your pearls before swine. Is that what Jesus meant? I don't think so. But on the other hand, through the years, there were many Protestants after the Protestant Reformation who read this verse and thought it meant, you know what? Don't take the gospel to pagan people, to the heathens, because it's like casting pearls before swine. You see, there was, and there still is, sort of a belief among some believers that it's called predestination, double-barreled predestination, meaning God has already predestined some people to be saved, and God has already predestined some people to be lost, and there's nothing we can do about it. And people that believe that, they don't practice, for instance, world missions. You may or may not know this, but in the year 1796, William Carey, who is called the father of modern missions, stood at a church in London and stood to his feet and passionately begged the clergymen there to send missionaries to India to preach the gospel. And he was shouted down by an older clergyman who made this infamous statement. He said, "Sit down, young man. If God decides to convert the heathen, he will do it without your help." Meaning, hey, we don't need to do missions. Because to go to people who aren't going to be saved is casting your pearls before swine. Folks, that is not what Jesus meant. Oh, by the way, here's a little sidebar. You know, have you ever noticed that some Baptist churches are called missionary Baptist churches? Do you know why that is? Because there are and were some Baptist churches that sort of are of that predestination mode, and they don't practice missions. And so to be distinctive from those that don't believe in missions, that's when some Baptist churches started calling themselves missionary Baptist churches. And by the way, folks, even though it's not in our name, guess what? We're a missionary Baptist church. So it's not talking about holding back communion from non-confessing Catholics. He's not talking about taking the gospel to the heathen. What's he talking about? Well, what is the pearl? I think it is the precious Word of God, the gospel. And here's what I think Jesus was talking about. If you give the gospel to somebody and they trample on it, and they reject it, and they treat it with animosity, and they're hostile toward you, Jesus said you need to stop doing that. You know why? Because that's like casting your pearls before swine. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you probably never expected a preacher to tell you. Some of you here today, I need to tell you that there are some people that you know, maybe family members, maybe friends, maybe acquaintances, and you have attempted to just share Jesus with them, and you know what they've done? They've gotten angry and hostile, and they're mad at you, and they don't want you to talk to them about Jesus. I'm going to tell you something you never expected a preacher to tell you to do. I'm going to tell you, stop talking to them. Don't talk to them about Jesus anymore. You know why? You're just tossing your pearls before swine. You say, what am I supposed to do? Just give up on them? Mark them off my list? No, I didn't say to do that. I just said, quit talking to them about Jesus because you're only going to make them angrier. And some of you know that. So you say, well, Pastor, what am I going to do? I'll tell you what to do. Live the Christian life before them because actions speak louder than words. And pray for them. I mean, don't stop praying for them, because you know what follows this verse, and we'll talk about next week? It's the parable of stones and snakes. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking, and seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking. So yeah, pray for that loved one. Pray for that friend. You say, well, what should I pray for them? Well, pray that their eyes will be open to the gospel. But here's something you need to pray for. Pray that God will bring someone in their life other than you, because apparently it's not working with you, right? Pray that God will bring somebody in their life who can share the gospel with them and they'll be receptive to it. But to just keep on badgering them, keep on bombing them when they're antagonistic, you're casting your pearls before swine. Now, Jesus said, when you do that, you know what these people are going to do? He says, they're going to do two things. Here they are. First of all, he says, if you cast your pearls before swine, they're going to reject and they're going to ridicule the message. They're going to reject and ridicule the message. He says they're going to trample it under their feet. You know, Jesus practiced this himself. He taught his disciples, you know, when he sent them out two by two, he said, when you go to a city, if they don't receive you, he says, I don't want you to get angry with them or anything. I just want you to just leave. Move on to somewhere else. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. He said, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. You know what? Jesus said, there are going to be people that reject the message. Not only will they reject it, they will ridicule it, like stomping on it. And you know what? In most cultures, stomping on something is a sign of insult. I don't want somebody coming up here and stomping on the American flag, do you? I don't want somebody coming up here and stomping on this Bible. But that's what some people do. They make fun of the gospel. And it may not be here so much in the context of our church or sometimes in East Texas, but folks, nationwide, listen to me, there is a growing opposition to the Christian message. Did you know that there are groups that are getting more and more aggressive in resisting Christianity? Here's an Associated Press article that's only several weeks old. Listen to this. The National Federation of Atheist, Humanist, and Secular Student Societies is planning an offensive against Christianity in schools this summer. The AHS, that's the name of this Association of Atheists and Humanists and Secularists, are supported by Richard Dawkins. That's the guy that wrote the book, The God Delusion. They're aiming to set up a network of atheist groups in schools to oppose Christian groups. So teenagers, students, don't be surprised if sometime in one of the schools there's this atheist group, kind of like FCA or Bible study group. This is a movement that's on in our nation. Not only that, listen to this. It will also be launching the first atheist summer camp for children. Can you imagine a summer, atheist summer camp for children? I wonder what songs they're going to sing. Which will teach, this is what they're going to teach. Listen to this, I'm reading this article. That will teach that religious belief is harmful and can prevent ethical and moral behavior. They are hoping to combat the dangerous Christian doctrines. Listen to these dangerous Christian doctrines. They're hoping to combat the dangerous Christian doctrines such as the belief that homosexuality is a sin and that God created the world. Aren't those dangerous doctrines? Hey folks, there was a time in America, I'm told, where a neighborhood church could ring its bell and people in the community would joyfully gather at the sound of that bell. We've come a long way, baby. Today we ring our church bell and people call the cops and complain about the noise. There's a growing opposition, and Jesus said that there would be people who would trample the pearls. You know what else they'll do? Not only will they reject and ridicule the message, number two, they will attack the messenger. Jesus said they will turn on you and they will tear you to pieces. Now, you know, when I was researching this message, I went online and there are a plethora of anti-Christian websites. Like, I hate Jesus. I hate Christians. Some of them are so unspeakably vile and obscene that there's no way I could repeat them up here to you. But I mean, there is widespread ridicule of Christians today. Here's just one clean post. Christians are a bunch of fools. They plan out their entire lives according to rules set by a kooky ancient book of myths. And hey, don't you just love how they ever so conveniently excuse themselves from providing proof by using crutches like faith? I don't have to tell you, folks, there are people out there who are hostile to the gospel, and to continue to feed them the gospel is like casting pearls before swine. You know, I remember the first time I was attacked for my faith. Not physically attacked, but verbally attacked. I was in high school, and it was about a year after my friend that I didn't share Christ with died in the car wreck, as I mentioned on Easter. And I was really trying to live for the Lord, and I was even sharing Jesus with some of my friends. I wasn't called a preacher or anything yet. I was just trying to live the Christian life. And there was a hangout in our town where all the students went to. It's called Ray's Grill, where people went after school to get hamburgers and shakes. And I remember walking in there one day after football practice, and it was already full of students and teenagers. And as I walked in the door, some guys over in the corner said to everybody in Ray's Grill, "Hey, look, here's the preacher. Hey, preacher, preach us a sermon." I wish I could tell you that I had some clever thing that I said, but I didn't. I was just embarrassed and sat down there with my friends until the laughter died down. And, you know, hey, I'm not being arrested or persecuted or killed like some Christians are. But I just learned that day that, you know what, if you live for Jesus, there are going to be some people who aren't going to be excited about it. You know, Jesus practiced what he preached here. Because he said there are some people that because of the way they have demonstrated their lifestyle, casting the gospel to them is like casting pearls before swine. Can you remember when it happened in the life of Jesus? Hey, listen, he spent 3.5 years telling everybody. I mean telling people about God's love, God's forgiveness, and the common people heard him gladly. But there was one time that Jesus had an opportunity to talk about God, and he didn't say a word. You remember when it was? Well, the day Jesus was crucified, he was on trial before Pilate. And Pilate said, "Hey, you're from Galilee? Not my jurisdiction. I'm going to send you over here to Herod. Herod Antipas. The same guy that cut John the Baptist's head off." And earlier in the Bible, we find out that somebody came and told Jesus, "Hey, Herod Antipas says he's going to kill you too." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "You go tell that fox." Yeah, Jesus said that. He didn't call him a hog or a dog. He called him a fox. He said, "You go tell that fox, I'm not afraid of him. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing." Well, here's Jesus, and he appears before him. There's a painting, a famous painting by a French artist, James Tissot, in which he paints this scene in which they're putting a robe on Jesus, and Herod is standing up there on the porch, and this is after Jesus has refused to say a word. And they're mocking and ridiculing Jesus. And this robe is a robe of mockery. Let me just read you. The Bible says, "When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions." Hey, he's asking questions. Look at this. "But Jesus gave him no answer. He was silent." Why? He wasn't going to cast his pearls before swine. "Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate." So the point Jesus is making here, some people are like dogs and hogs. And when you discover that they are, stop casting your pearls, the precious truth of the gospel, before them. Now, but there's a third point. I'm not going to stop here. One more thing to say, and this is spiritual principle number 3, and it is this: share. That's right. share. Target people who aren't pigs, who aren't dogs. Target people who are open to the good news. Now, would one of you guys down here throw me a quarter? Can I borrow a quarter from somebody? Just toss it up here. Anybody else? Or maybe I can use a $100 bill. All right, how about that? You know, a quarter has two sides. We all know that. Heads and tails. Did you know that every command of God, every precept of God has two sides, a positive and a negative? And you know, a lot of times people complain about the Bible. It's just a bunch of thou shalt nots. Well, yeah, but it's a whole bunch of thou shalls too. For instance, the Bible says, you shall not kill, you shall not murder. That's negative. What's the positive? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? If you love your neighbor, you're not going to worry about killing them. I'm saying that because for every negative command of Jesus, always look for the positive on the flip side. What's the negative? Don't cast your pearls before swine. What's on the flip side? Do share the gospel with people that are hungry and ready to receive the gospel. There's a pastor down in the Gulf Coast. I'm going to put this in the offering thing there, Robert. There's a pastor down in the Gulf Coast by the name of Mike Cope, and he loves to fish in the Gulf. And he wrote about this verse on his blog and used an illustration that I want to tell you. He went out fishing and he caught some grouper. And you know, grouper is delicious fish and very expensive. It's over $10 a pound. And he fixed it and invited some friends over to his house. And when they tasted the fish, this is what they said. They said, that's not too bad. Tastes just like chicken. And Mike said he didn't really say anything, but he was really insulted by that. Because what they were saying was that this delicious fish that he'd spent all the time and effort and money to catch, that was worth $10 a pound, they were comparing it to 99 cent a pound chicken. And so you know what he did? He said the next time those friends came over, he served them chicken. And he said he reserved his fish for people who appreciated the value of good fish. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. You know what? Don't waste your time and your effort and your energy on those who are not receptive to the gospel. Instead, invest your time and energy in those who are receptive to the gospel. Hey, you say, well, who is that? Well, let me just tell you some people that right now are very receptive to the gospel. Number one, children. Hello? Children. I mean, hogs and dogs can be pretty mean, but have you ever met a mean piglet? Remember Babe or a mean puppy? Have you ever noticed how receptive children are to the gospel? I became a Christian when I was 9 years old. Anybody in this room, you were 12 years old or younger when you became a Christian? Would you hold up your hand right now? 12 years old or younger? That's more than half the people here. So guess who? Right here in our midst, right here in East Texas, they're very open and receptive to the gospel, children. So let's be telling them about Jesus. Hey, how about teenagers? I tell you what, teenagers, we need to invest our time in teenagers. You know, I was called to preach when I was 17 years old. They did a survey of our Southern Baptist missionaries, and 80% of our missionaries, full-time missionaries, said they were saved and called into Christian service when they were teenagers. And you know why we need to focus on teenagers? Because the statistics are scary. If an American teenager reached the age of 18 without accepting Jesus, only one out of 40 of those that reach the age of 18 will ever become a Christian at all. So that's why we need to focus our time, our energy, our money in reaching teenagers for Jesus Christ. You know who else is receptive to the gospel? Hey, people around the world who've never heard the gospel. They are so receptive to the gospel. That's why I'm so glad as a church we take the gospel all over the world. You know what? I have a personal conviction that nobody should hear the gospel twice until everybody's had a chance to hear it one time. And here in America, we are a sermon-soaked society. There are churches on every corner. There's a Bible in every hotel room. And there are millions of people around the world who've never even heard the name Jesus. I remember when we went to Russia a few years ago after the Iron Curtain had fallen, and I would just stand up on the bumper of a van, and these Russian pastors would play the guitars, and a crowd of 200 or 300 people would gather, and I would preach the gospel, and we would give an invitation as they translated, and we had dozens and dozens of those Russian people accept Jesus Christ. They were absolutely hungry for it, like sponges soaking it up. And we would give away free Russian Bibles. And the people would crowd around us and grab those Bibles. It would be like if you went down to the Broadway Square Mall on a Saturday afternoon and you had a fistful of $100 bills and you started passing them out to Americans. Can you imagine the riot for people grabbing that? That's how the Russians went after the Bible. And they sat down, many of them, right then when they got their Bibles and started reading it because they were just so hungry for the gospel. And what can I say about China? You know, God is doing amazing work in China. You know why? Those people are so receptive and responsive to the gospel. You wouldn't believe when you talk to them about God's love and God's forgiveness and how they can have eternal life in heaven. I mean, a light literally comes on in their eyes. And so you know what, folks? That's why, as a church, we need to target people who are receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus said. He said, yeah, there are some dogs out there. There are some hogs out there. You've already tried to witness to them. Stop wasting your pearls with them and focus on those who are receptive. One day, Jesus sat down at a well, and there was a woman there. And that was a woman, if there was ever a woman who needed some spiritual truth, it was that woman. She was a fallen woman, a broken woman. And he began to talk to her. And he said, would you like some living water? And she said, oh, I would really love some living water. And he gave her eternal life. And the Bible says that she went back into town and she grabbed everybody she could find, her family, her friends, and she led them out to this well. And this is what she said to them. She said, hey, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. And so I want you to picture this procession of people coming out toward the well where Jesus is. And by now the disciples are back. And that is the setting in which Jesus spoke these words in John 4:35. He said to the disciples, do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. Meaning don't say that. He said, I tell you right now, open your eyes. And I believe he pointed to those people. He said, look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And here's God's message to you today, especially those of you who have family members and friends that you've shared and shared and shared, and they've rejected and rejected and trampled the message. Hey, pray for them. Move on. Shake the dust off your feet and go and find those who are open to the gospel. You know why? Lift up your eyes. The fields are ripe for harvest. Father, thank you for not only telling us what not to do, but more than that, telling us what to do. Lead us to people, Lord, who are open to the truth. And may we share it with conviction and courage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.